Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
By my co-host, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much. Just waiting for our other co-host to finally get his ass to call into the show, which he finally did. Craig, what's going on?
Oh, a little this, a little that. What you doing?
Like I said, just waiting for you. You know, you're being unprofessional, being late for the show.
But, yeah, that's what happens.
It's actually more unprofessional to point that out.
Yeah.
That's your opinion, not mine.
That's the correct opinion.
That's the wrong opinion.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, not much, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, I actually had no idea what we're doing on the show. I was half asleep when I got a bombardment of Facebook things on my phone and just barely glanced at them. And I just said I'd play it by ear, so I'll let one of you decide what's going on because I have no idea.
Go ahead, Craig. This is your idea.
Oh, yeah, it was my idea, wasn't it? Of course, it was shat upon by one Mr. Edward Laredo.
Because... No, I didn't know who you
were going to
pick.
Oh, okay. Let's all throw out the topic here, and you can go ahead and read my mind. Won't that be fun? Here, what am I thinking of right now? Okay. Anyway.
You're probably thinking I'm an asshole, but that's also not a true statement.
Oh, okay. Let me see here. Yeah. My give a crap is completely out the window tonight, I'll be honest with you. I've had a fine week. Okay. So here's my idea for the topic. I'm going to title this show, Use Them the Right Way. And basically, the topic is a show on guys that are being pushed one way, but not the right way. And could be that they're not being pushed at all. It could be that angles and things aren't going the way they should. And like I said, some guys just not being pushed at all, and underused and underutilized. So,
and if anybody
that
brings
is the topic.
If anybody brings up Zack Ryder, this is going to be a serious discussion, so don't even bother. Please.
Okay, so the topic of the show is Use Them the Right Way.
Actually, the topic of the show is the Misused and Abused, is what I titled it.
That's very nice.
And actually, I was not so much... I mean, we include stuff from today, but also I was going to go back in the past and name some instances where guys have been misused or underutilized or, you know, had the ball dropped. So,
There's the topic
that's
for the
kind
evening.
Of creative, for sure. I'm actually kind of proud of you for coming up with something a little different. But hold on, before you continue, Craig, it just caught my mind, and it's just sticking in my mind, so I got to make sure I didn't hear what I heard. Did you say the word shit, and is shit not a cuss word?
No, I said chat.
It's like saying shite.
Yeah. One of these days, I'm going to get you, Craig. One of these days, you're going to cuss, and it's going to be live on the air.
Oh, I know.
We're going to have to do.
Yeah.
But one day.
And then what? And then what?
And then we're going to make fun of you like the Strike Force thing.
Okay. Yeah, and then you can keep picking at that scab for 2.5 years, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thinking. Why don't you pop a couple of zits while you're at it, too? Anyway, what were you going to read my mind on, oh, great Karnak?
I'll just let you go ahead and start, because I know you're going to try and change it. You're changing your whole thing up.
You can't think of anything.
Oh, come on. I know two of them for sure. Come on.
Well, go ahead and spit them out.
Yeah.
Cesaro and TJ.
Sure.
And who? Yeah, those are fine. I didn't even think of T.J. Wilson, though, to be honest with you.
That's because you forget he's there.
Yeah, because he's, you know, not.
But he's made more. He hasn't been there, but he's made more news in the past couple of days than he has since he was doing that WrestleMania thing with Bret and the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the whole Bachelorette party thing's been all over everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it, but, you know, sure. So, who wants to go first? Because, like I said, I really don't give a crap tonight.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start it off then, Craig?
Okay, I'll go ahead and start it off. There is a tag team right now in the WWE that is really great. They epitomize tag team wrestling. They remind me something of a throwback from the 80s. This is the Usos. I think the Usos are a great tag team. They move great in the ring. They're exciting to watch. They always have good matches. And
they have a good look.
Why they don't get... Yeah, they do have a great look. I mean, they're not... They don't fit the typical 2000 mold for WWE wrestlers. They're different.
They don't look like the older Samoans, you know, like from the past.
Right. They're not huge and well. Let's
well,
be honest,
see, right there's
shape.
The problem.
Yeah,
right, there's the problem. They're too small to be Samoan monsters, and they're too fat to be anything else as far as Vince's eyes. So they're gonna. Fortunately, be stuck where they're at, and you know they're in a position to where they've won a couple matches on I think maybe main event and one on Raw, but even with that, there's no guarantee they're going to get a title match. They could forget
well,
about it.
They were supposed to get one this Sunday.
They were supposed to be a three-way.
And well, there you go. That's what they think of them.
Yeah, and I don't like that. There's no reason. They're completely using them wrong. Like I said, they are a real tag team. It's not like they pick two random guys like, oh, Daniel Bryan and Kane and threw them together and here's our tag team. They're a real tag team. They, like I said, it's like one of the throwbacks from the 80s. And
they kind of remind me of the Islanders a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
There's a reason. It's because they're kind of like Umaga light. I mean, like I said, they're not big enough to be. No one's going to take them as any kind of monsters whatsoever. And as far as being like a good like the Islanders, the times have changed. I mean, King Haku was still a big, you know, a big dude back in the time. I mean, these guys are good-sized guys, but, you know, you stick them in a ring with anybody like Kane or any of these other big guys, they don't look that much. These guys are in a position to where they're never going to do anything whatsoever in the company. And sadly, the main reason is because they're, skinny fat?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I know. I don't even most of the people are there to be that ripped.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing against them. I think they're talented. I think they're good, but they will never get the push. That winning a match on Raw the other week, that's the highlight of their WWE career.
And that's really, really sad. They're good, and they should be pushed as such. And you can create a monster. You can create a monster when there's no monster there. There's no reason that Daniel Bryan is pushed the way he is. He goes out there and I guess with him it's an exception because he proves it in the ring night after night and always delivers. But
I was going to say that was a good example.
But anyway, you can create. This isn't UFC. This is not on the level. You can create stars, and there's no reason why these two can't be stars.
I think there's a lot of reasons, but disagree on that.
But there's no reason you can't want them to be stars. It's fine to want them to be stars, you know. You throw out all the reasons why they aren't, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just being realistic. I mean, you know.
Okay, why don't you I'll start dumping all over it.
You want me?
Let's not dump all over everybody every time they come up with a suggestion.
Yeah, because okay. That's Ed's strategy on everything.
I personally think the Bullet Twins should be involved in every segment on Raw and on SmackDown, and they are highly interviewed.
Thank God you want a booker.
They should be on TV, on my TV 24/7.
And I would never watch Raw again.
I'll actually, as far as like Mr. Couture wanted to talk about guys who were underutilized throughout the years, and I might be stepping on one of Couture's toes here, but I'll go with Brad Armstrong. Because, Brad, I just was watching some Lightning Express matches on YouTube the other day, and I grew up watching Brad. When I started watching wrestling, he was teaming with his dad. And, you know, I saw his Mid-South run and everything else. And, you know, they're the guy who basically, you know, made everybody look good and never got any credit, had to lose, had to put on stupid costumes like a wrestling man. And, like, his backstory was kind of cool. And then wasn't there Fantasia and just a lot of other stuff.
The Disney people got mad, so they changed it to Bad Street.
Which I think Bad Street was cooler anyway, but there's an example of a fucking an incredible talent who basically just will be known as a mid carder for life. Basically,
he was a guy. He had charisma. Just he couldn't turn it on when the camera was on. Cause I've like seen interviews and stuff with him, like shoot interviews. That's a funny guy. I mean, like charismatic and stuff like that.
Back when he wrestled, it was like less, I don't want to say the storylines, because of course everything was storylines, but they didn't have, you know, the 20-minute interview. There was no way for Brad to really show his charisma, because the way he was a funny guy. I mean, there was no way for him to be, you know, to express that on TV, kind of like Dean Malenko. Everyone says Dean Malenko is the funniest guy in the world, but if you just watch him wrestle, you think he's just straightforward, no nonsense, you know, no nonsense personality. And that's exactly how like Brad was.
Yeah, I mean, also I think he might have been one of those guys. There's some guys that are just like too good that they get such a reputation for being so good that they just used to put everybody else over, make everybody else look good, but not doing much with them. So,
yeah.
He's a guy you want on, even if you aren't going to use him, like, to his potential, but you want him on your show or on your roster all the time. Have a guy that can go out there and have a great match with somebody or make somebody look good.
He's always really sound in the ring and completely underused, and I kind of find that like none of the Armstrongs really got their comeuppance, you know, in on the
big. He had the charisma of Road Dogg. With his
Road Dogg actually got more than he actually probably should have. I mean,
well, that just shows you how the whole character thing in wrestling works. You know, you come up with a hot, you know, a very strong character that can go out there and talk, which most times is more important than what you actually do in the ring. So,
yeah, because the thing that Road Dogg could talk, and he did have presence. Okay, he's the worst worker of all the Armstrongs. But you know, he was able to use the two things that he did have. And get over more than any of the other brothers, and probably made more money. But like, if you really look at it, just talent wise, as far as like in the ring wrestler, whatever, he's the least of all of them.
It's funny because I saw on YouTube the other day, they had an old I think it was like Continental Wrestling, and this was like maybe like 88 or something. And for some reason, they bring this young man under the set. He's one of the Armstrongs. He's just joined the military. He's got his suit on. He's getting ready to, you know, to not go to war, but you know, he's serving in the military. And it was a Brian Armstrong. You would never recognize him.
Yeah, you know why? Because he didn't have they all kind of had the same hairstyle. You know what I mean? A little curly. Hair
and Brad, he had the acceptable looking mullet because he had the curly hair.
Yeah. Well, Steve kind of had, he was kind of similar, and Scott was kind of similar. I mean, you could tell they look like, basically, they look like father, and you don't know if Road Dogg. You know what I mean?
Mm hmm. Yeah.
But we'll let you go ahead, Couture, since I know I probably stole your first pick.
No, that was my you know, with the guys today, I think I'm so, like, my interest level in wrestling today is so down that it's kind of hard for me to come up with somebody I think is being so misused or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I may go with, like, people that have been, like, misused in the past, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, okay, in the past, there's more wrestlers, so there's more people that you can notice. You know what I mean?
One guy I thought that, like, I was also put in the description, like, guys coming off of, like, a very hot angle that the ball was just totally dropped with them, like, in the follow-up. Or either it was, like, a real-life story that, you know, you could add it to, like, a wrestling angle. To, you know, go get a guy over more. And I thought that was 1998 when I thought the potential for like a really hot baby face was when Buff Bagwell came back after breaking his neck on TV. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And because, I mean, it was right there on TV. It was like it was one of the scariest things I've ever seen. And they were like, then he came back and did a couple of promos, and they were like, you know, the fans were with him. They were, because he'd been WCW for so long, and then they put him back in the NWO, and they made him a heel again. And I thought he had like a real potential for to like be like a hot baby face at the time.
It had potential just because of everything that happened. I mean, it happened on TV. You saw everything. It's a serious injury. Probably should never came back. That's perfect to make him a babyface. But the thing is, by that point, to me personally, there was nothing likable about Buff Bagwell. You know, I mean, it wouldn't have gone over with me as much as it probably could have gone over with other people. But just because I just, by that point, couldn't stand Buff. But, you know, as far as the angle, yeah. But I would say Buff Bagwell was a guy who got more out of the push he should have got. I mean, yeah, he looked great when he got all roided up at the end, and he was kind of talented, but, you know, when he was Marcus Alexander Bagwell, he was getting pushed way more than he was then he was good enough to be.
I don't agree with that, because when he came in, they were pushing him as like this young rookie, and then for a rookie,
Did you see when he was the, what was his gimmick? The Handsome Stranger, that's what it was.
Yeah, in Global.
Yeah, and he had like the long ranger man.
But I don't think he ever got as Marcus Alexander back. Well, I don't think he got over pushed more than he should. A lot of the times it was just like when he first came in WCW, he got pushed a little bit harder because they were doing the whole rookie angle with like guys training him, and you know, you had the heel of like the Dangerous Alliance one, the Breaking Down, which they did a lot with rookies back then. Some of these angles, so. And he was a good performer when he came in. I enjoyed his work. So
he was one of those guys that he was saddled with so many bad gimmicks. I mean, the American males.
Right, the American males.
Oh gosh, I mean, he was just saddled with stuff, and you know, it made the guys in the audience absolutely hate the man, and the girls, of course, you know, just absolutely love him.
Me and Marcus Alexander Bagwell just sounds like a geek. Let's be honest.
Exactly. And so he naturally overcame that. I mean, once he was in the NWO, it was like, come on now. But that thing had ran its course. They drove that thing into the ground all by themselves. He was just a passenger. But, yeah, they really could have done something pretty huge with him coming back from the neck injury and the surgery and all that. And, you know, bad on them for not taking advantage of it.
And we really killed him, I thought, was when his mom started being on TV. That'd kill anybody.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You imagine going on the road with your mother.
Champion Judy Bagwell.
Was it his legit mom, or was it a gimmick mom?
Yeah.
That was his legit mom.
Wasn't she like a judge? What the fuck was she doing all that shit for anyway?
What do you mean?
Like, she's a judge. Isn't she supposed to have, like, be, like, respectable and, you know, and stuff like that? And she's doing everything she's doing on Raw. Not Raw, on Nitro. You know, she's stuck on a pole.
I don't know. Somebody somewhere, I don't know what the deal was with that.
Imagine going on the road with your mother. Mom, trying to bang some rats and do some coke. Come on.
Okay, it was in WWF when they came over in 2001. He got his mom to call to get him out of going to work. Remember that story? Jim Ross told that on one of those Legends Roundtables. He said, because they were doing Legends Roundtables on, like, guys with a lot of heat, you know, like in the back and stuff. And he brought up Buff Bagwell on you. And said his mom called to get him out of going to work on the weekend. Said he called him and said that Marcus was hurt and his neck was hurt and he wasn't going to be able to make it this weekend. And JR said, I appreciate you calling, Mrs. Bagwell, but this is the last time you and I will ever speak about this because your son's old enough to call himself. That was so fucking awesome.
Mom, I'm trying to bang an underage girl. Come on, leave me alone.
Well, we've all heard that
never actually happened. You know that he was the one that called. It wasn't his mom, but I don't know. I trust Jim Ross more than I trust him. So, you know.
Oh God.
Actually really liked when he teamed with, like, Too Cold Scorpio. I thought they were a decent tag team.
Yeah. They're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll throw out another one.
And okay, because Ed just dropped off the thing.
Oh, good. Good. Well, then I won't give him the satisfaction of talking about Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah.
Guy gets it done in the ring. I mean, he's absolutely awesome in the ring, and he's been awesome in the ring for years. And then they saddle him with a rugby player gimmick. The rugby? Yeah, anyway.
Rugby thing's fine. It's the yodeling that's looked up.
Right. And I was going to get to that. Then the yodeling, and then as I saw on NXT last week, when he was the douchebag foreigner with the glasses and the beret, I mean, there it is. And I don't know if anybody's keen enough to actually pick up on that. I mean, the guy should just be a monster in the ring. He should be throwing men around. He should be breaking necks. He should be putting people in
Roswell. Well. I mean, like the first, when they first brought him up, I thought he was doing really well for like a year there or so. You know, he was, I mean, the U.S. title didn't mean much, but it was something that for him to have to, you know, kind of help him along. And, I thought he looked good. I don't know lately, the gear he's been wearing has just been god awful. With the really short black trunks and no knee pads and black boots. And
that's not a good look.
Yeah, I don't know. I like how they were pushing the neutralizer, like he put it on Great Khali or something, and he really put it over. Like, I always loved how he would like be in the, he'd like be having a match with like Kofi, and he would just like muscle him up, like in just like a big like a salto suplex. He just muscle him up. And I thought he was doing well for a while. I mean, I don't think he's boring. I actually thought that he had a good look, and there was a potential of, you know, maybe getting the world title picture, maybe next year or so or something like that. So
When I got disconnected, I kind of knew that I was going to come back and we were going to basically hear the reason for the whole show. And I was pretty much right. But I will have to agree with you, Craig. He is very misused at the current time. Like Katrina was saying, he was looking pretty damn good, you know, killing Khali, killing the dancing dude, you know.
But they were having him go against Ryback, and, like, he'd lose by count out when Ryback would be in charge at the time. So,
Or he'd be against Kofi or somebody high flyer, and they'd come flying, and he'd hit that freaking awesome elbow forearm. And just,
yeah.
It, to me, it's like one of these things where they didn't expect him to be this good as he is, and him being as good as he is kind of ruffles some feathers, and now they need to. It's also like they also like to do this to a lot of people. They like to try and break people. Look at Sheamus. Sheamus was world champion, and the next thing you know, he's jobbing and being a joke around. He's like a Bryan Danielson. He has a nice little run. He wins Money in the Bank, and then he jobs for like 5 months straight, basically. And I think part of it's a test. They're kind of testing him. But I also feel like I say he's maybe stepped on a few toes being better than he is. And to the point where you know he's better than a lot of guys. And I'm sure a lot of people don't like that. And as far as like him being boring, I mean, there's nothing boring about him. I mean, he's honest. Like if you compare, on a scale of 1 to 10, him and Curtis Axel, who's more boring and who's not? You got him on the high list of the charisma, and then you got Curtis Axel with no presence whatsoever outside of the ring. And it's like, if you're in a mindset that he's boring and Curtis Axel isn't, I mean, you really don't belong in the pro wrestling business.
I kind of liked what they were doing with him a few weeks ago where he was, I put the W in WWE, wrestle, and I don't know why they haven't picked up on that and ran with it, because that's really what they should do with him. I mean, he is awesome in the ring, and he does wrestle.
He's got a different style. He sticks out than everybody
else. Yeah, maybe his gimmick could be that he's a wrestler.
He needs his coffee gimmick back.
That wasn't his gimmick. He just liked coffee. Early on, he did show up on Raw sipping out of a latte cup, and I had to laugh about that.
And he's got badass music too. I like it.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Sounds like James Bond or something like that.
Mm. Ooh, International Man of Mystery. I like it. Wear the beret and the glasses.
and he'd go in there.
Did you saw him in you watch NXT?
Yeah.
Oh, do you? Will you watch that on Hulu?
Yeah, I just actually started watching about the last, well, probably 3 weeks I've been watching it.
I've been meaning to go back because I'm loving these Wyatt family promos.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're fucking awesome. So I've been going back and I've been meaning to go back and check some of the old NXTs out to see the things they did down there because I'm like really into these promos and really looking forward to them coming up. So
yeah, they're not bad in the ring. Brian and kind of craps all over them. They're not bad in the ring. They're fine. They're totally competent, but they're totally right. The Bray Wyatt guy is phenomenal on the mic.
Yeah.
And you just believe what he's saying. You know what I mean? He's like that good of like an actor.
He does come off kind of like a cult leader, isn't he?
Exactly. Like a David Koresh kind of guy or something like that.
What was the name of Danny Spivey's last gimmick?
Waylon Mercy.
Oh.
He looked like the cross between Waylon Mercy and T.L. Hopper.
Mm.
T.L. Hopper is more of an appearance, but
the look is a takeoff on the Max Cady character from Cape Fear with Robert De Niro.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. That's kind of what the kind of the inspiration for the characters, the attitude of the characters, kind of from that. So.
Well, they're supposed to be from like the Louisiana area, right? They're Cajuns.
I guess so. I'm not really sure.
They look
like
Cajun,
like a redneck clan or something like that. And no, I should not know because I can tell you right now, I've never run into any rednecks like that. So.
Well, I was kind of thinking, they could, just be the rednecks, and then all of a sudden you could throw voodoo into the mix, and because they're from, the South, and
the Cajuns that are from in Louisiana. But to get to the house, you need one of them boats with the big fans on it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That Bray Wyatt is just great. And then Brody Lee, what's his name now?
You know what's great about Brody Lee?
He was on our show.
He's also like a super big time Ed and San Antonio fan.
I see.
That makes sense.
Why do you
have
to kill my buzz here for this exciting gimmick and say something like that? You want me to dislike him now? I'm kidding. I remember Eli. One of the clips I watched on NXT, he had like Eli Cottonwood with him. I don't know if he's still in the group now.
Oh, yeah.
But
Eli Cottonwood? Who the fuck? Was that the tall dude?
Yeah, the tall dude did a poem about a mustache on NXT that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I did like when they did the NXT thing, the second NXT. I liked Husky Harris when he was so different from everybody else. So
talk about misused.
Yeah. Actually, I'm glad he got misused and got sent back down because we might not have got this awesome gimmick. So I'm kind of happy on that end. So.
Well, they honestly dropped the ball with him. I mean, he didn't look again like your stereotypic WWE wrestler in the 2000s, and so they busted him down to NXT again. Well, that guy can move in the ring, man.
He was a good worker. I mean, plus he looked different. I mean,
what did JR call him? He was a tank with a Ferrari engine. That guy was awesome, man.
Yeah.
That was great. Guy was great.
Yeah, I'm liking those promos. They kind of feel like they're not so really not that PG. I mean, kind of disturbing promos, I guess you could say. Kind of like one of those, kind of like a horror movie thing.
Yeah.
Give them a joy. I'm looking forward to them coming up. So.
Cool. Go ahead, Ed. Throw it out.
Okay. It's a tag team, and it's also from the past. And, well, I really shouldn't say the past. I probably should say the future. But, unfortunately, the main one, the real star of the team, had a lot of injuries and stuff going on and just didn't make it. But the new breed, in my opinion, should have been pushed up to that Midnight Express rock and roll level because they were awesome. They were doing shit that was so much cooler than the Midnight Express. They had a freaking awesome look. They had the coolest haircuts in the history of pro wrestling. And they're from a time when Dusty Rhodes was the president of the United States of America. So what more could you ask for?
Chris Champion was okay. Sean Royal was horrible. I did not. I thought they looked bad in the ring. I didn't like them.
Not either. Well, Chris did all the work anyway. Royal just went and held him while Chris came and jumped on him.
Plus, they were doing, I mean, I don't remember any, like, innovative moves they did. They stole one move from the Rougeaus. That's about all I remember.
Oh, not even. I remember because I actually was watching at the time they were on, and they had a lot of cool. Lot
actually,
of cool
kind of topical since his brother died the other day.
I didn't know that was his brother. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That was Mark's brother. Mark Starr was all right. He was decent. I mean, you know, he
I remember being
like,
at work with him and Canyon. I thought they were a decent little team.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, yeah, he had a decent look. I mean, he would have been a bigger star 10, 20 years earlier.
And actually, he was in the – they had brought in – they had the new breed at the 1988 Crockett Cup, which was Chris Champion and Mark Starr.
I'm just
Chris Champion was I was just gonna say about Chris Champion, the greatest thing I've ever seen is he was in the ring with Rick Steiner, and Rick Steiner at this point, this is in 88, and Rick Steiner's already he's one of those guys that can take those like flip bumps and stuff like that off of like clotheslines and stuff like that. Chris Champion, he gets in position in the middle of the ring and he's knocked Steiner down. Steiner's about to get up and he does the crane technique from the Karate Kid. He gets in position. He does the kick, and Steiner does a flip bump, and it's like the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Was he doing just the Chris Champion gimmick, or was he doing the Yoshi Kwan gimmick?
This was just like Chris Champion gimmick, and this was an 88.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Ed, I hate to call you out on this, but I hated these guys. I absolutely thought they stunk up the joint when they were out there. I didn't think
because
they had any
cool
redeeming quality at all.
You're not cool. That's why. You just think Chris Champion is not good? Seriously.
Chris Champion
you
was a fine, but I mean, as a team, I thought that they just weren't very good.
Chris Champion was
fine.
Right. He was competent in the ring, but that tag team and those haircuts, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. Dude, the haircuts were the greatest thing ever at pro wrestling, dude. He had, like, a reverse mohawk.
Says the man who cut off his mullet last year.
It was the greatest thing ever, dude. Don't ever insult Chris Champion's hairstyle.
It looked like two job guys from WWF that had to do jobs at Beefcake.
Oh, gosh.
No, Beefcake
didn't get their heads, but...
You can't do that.
I didn't like them. I did. Sorry. Didn't like them. Thought they were bad.
Well, you both have bad opinions on pro wrestling, so you know,
and apparently hairstyles.
Yeah, apparently.
You're trolling us right now on the radio, and all the fans listening, aren't you?
No, because I'm sure the fans agree with me that the new breed were awesome.
Okay,
thanks, Rover.
All right, that's fine. You can have this one. Couture, the floor is yours.
You know, I thought that they had a great opportunity back in, like, 2005, which, on one hand, one guy got something out of it, but on the other hand, one guy they completely dropped the ball with, and it just was just kind of like a waste. was when Matt Hardy came back after the whole Lita Edge thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they really did.
I thought they had there was a chance for him to, like, really step up and become, I think Edge did get something out of it because it paired him with Lita. And I think that whole story kind of elevated him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they put those two together. Because he was coming off as such a, he was such a good heel at the time anyway. You know, he just wanted to hate the guy.
And worse than all that, he got fired over it. He was the one that was wrong, and he got fired.
Yeah. I remember, like, when he first came back, I remember when he just tackled Edge backstage, and nobody mm-hmm. said anything, like, the announcers didn't say anything, and then Edge was in a match with Kane, and then he attacked him there. He gets on the microphone, starts screaming about being going to be in Ring of Honor next week or something like that.
Yeah.
And, they didn't help, the first promo we cut was pretty bad, and
mm-hmm.
they kind of killed him in that first match at SummerSlam when they had, the knockout finish, where he got knocked out or something, and it was, 2 months later, they did have an awesome cage match at, the September pay-per-view, I remember, and he had a stupid leg drop off of the top of the cage, and then it was just like the next month, I remember it was that Homecoming edition of Raw. You know, when they went back to U.S., they had the big 3-hour show when they went back to USA from Spike TV, and they had, the ladder match for the Money in the Bank, and if Matt Hardy, then the loser went to SmackDown. It was for all losers go back at that point. So, and he got sent to SmackDown, and can't remember much of anything he did after that. But the only thing I remember after that was, they did the whole thing with him and the MVP. Had a little feud there. And I thought he could have been a little bit bigger star. So I think they dropped the ball in that respect.
And let's be honest, he didn't fare too well even when he went to TNA. He just didn't get his crap together.
I'd say so. He's they're trying to get fired for I don't know how long WWE is putting some videos and stuff up. And
eating grapes.
The whole nonsense with the non-suicide video.
Oh, dude, when that... Oh, my gosh.
That was fucked up.
When that broke, Facebook went absolutely crazy. Twitter went absolutely crazy. I'm pretty sure I called Brian Alvarez immediately and was like, what? And just hung up with me and texted me 10 minutes later, yeah, it's a hoax. And, yeah,
that was fucked up because it's like, okay, seems like this dude's going to kill himself if I call somebody. Even though I know he's done something before, but still, when you involve me and stuff like that, you can go fuck off.
Yeah.
Kachar, are you friends with Jared on Facebook?
No.
Okay, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Jared was posting on Facebook for someone to call the cops.
Yeah.
You know, he was freaking out about it.
Well, somebody did call the cops. In fact, a certain source told me that they had over 200 phone calls to the North Carolina Police Department where that had happened to do
it. Actually, I think they went to, which with his legal problems at the time, they went to Jeff Hardy's house at 11 o'clock at night, which I'm sure he was thrilled with. Even
mm-hmm.
said he was probably shitting his pants when he seen the cops pull up to the house at 11 o'clock at night.
Anybody would. Go down the toilet.
No, I could see him just throwing everything in a blanket and throwing it into a ball of his shoulder, running out, jumping on his dirt bike and going hiding it somewhere.
Here we go again.
It was just, and then it came out like he was a he put, a date he was born and then the date that he made that video. And he said, oh, it's just me changing my character. I'm like, fuck off. Ain't nobody in their right mind. And anybody with half a brain is going to think that you're threatening to do something to yourself. Just kill yourself or something. Put something like that up.
He was getting kind of close to it just on accidental. I mean, wasn't he falling down the stairs? He was so drugged up and just
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
know, mm-hmm. he was like a male version of Sonny Bear for a while.
But good. Hey, at least he looks like he's bounced back from it. He's doing okay, I guess. I mean, I don't watch Ring of Honor or anything, but he seems to be
What's fucking hilarious is, you know, this whole uproar about, like, the whole suicide thing we're talking about. But then last week he makes a video where he's basically making fun of a girl who killed herself. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know. But I actually thought Matt Hardy should have got pushed more when he was Matt Hardy version 2.0. I mean.
Yeah.
Matt,
I love that gimmick. I thought he was awesome. The what?
I remember he was the Mattitude era, and
It was so crazy seeing Matt Hardy act like that. It was just like it made me laugh. I highly enjoyed it. I thought I loved that Matt Hardy 2.0 gimmick. And
he had his Mattitude
fans. Yeah, and at that point he wasn't as beat up. I mean, he got. Basically, his big downfall in WWE is the fact that his body started falling apart, which caused him to get kind of fat, and, you know, now the whole Fat Hardy thing. But that was really the end for him. It is his body kind of turned on him for a while. He was always hurt, you know. He always had something fucking him up.
I remember he had his follower. It was Shannon Moore was like his follower, and Moore had his fans that they called his morons.
Yeah.
Just remember when Matt Hardy was training to have like a title match for like the light heavyweight title or the cruiserweight title, and Shannon Moore was helping him like cut weight and lose weight. That was pretty funny. They're eating lobster sauce. I don't know why, but they made it a point to talk about the lobster sauce was Yeah, but anyway.
Go ahead, Craig.
This might sound silly, but WWE ended up picking up Raven, and they just couldn't capture what he was in ECW. And I know, well, duh, because he wasn't in ECW, but there was something really special about Tommy Dreamer and Raven, and then they both get called up to WWE, and they could never figure out the Raven character or push him as such. And the blow off to a multi-year long feud between Tommy Dreamer and Raven took place in a WWE ring on Monday Night Raw, and it went about 4 minutes.
And was the loser had to leave Raw or something like that? It was. Yeah.
Well, see, the main thing that
big time.
The main problem is you guys are fantasizing Raven and Tommy Dreamer. You know what? Yes, they were over and everything was great and they were superstars in ECW, but we're talking about 500 people get that at a bingo hall. I mean, There's a big translation between that and the big stage. And to me, as great as they were in ECW, they just weren't going to flourish in WWE because that just wasn't really their style, even though they were trying to copy them and be a little more hardcore. They were never going to go all the way with it. You couldn't have someone's son turn on their dad and hit him with a kindle stick or all the lesbian angles and all the other stuff they did on ECW. And
I saw all those angles take place in WWE at one point or another.
But not as good. Not as good and not all the way, you know?
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is there was a little bit of magic that Paul figured out in that bingo hall, and nobody could ever harness it, and Raven is
because
it's not like
somewhere.
People didn't know about it. Not like people didn't know about ECW. People knew about
exactly.
ECW in 2001. Because it was a hot thing that really picked
that
up like in the mid-90s. Wrestling was going
more of it than it was. People put ECW
on. Nobody's making more of
that.
It than it was. I'm just saying. I mean, you're talking about a company that did help, that did change the business, whether anybody wants to admit
it
or not.
I'm not saying they did. I'm just saying that, you know, people over fantasize the stuff in ECW than what it really was.
You can't say that because in every arena back in the late 90s, every arena you went to, they would do a table spot and everybody would chant ECW. It wasn't just smattering of fans. It was many.
People come out at arenas today and they start chanting what at the guys on TV. You know what I mean? It's the chants are a cool thing to do. That's what the Paul took advantage of, so many little things that helped make ECW look bigger than they were. You know, they helped change the company, but it's a romanticized that the fans have with ECW. And they think that the stars that there
but they have
the
good
biggest
memories of it. I don't think it's romanticizing about it. If they have legit and loved it and enjoyed it, they're not making it out to be more than it was. If they loved it, they loved it, you know. So,
well, isn't that what romanticizing is, basically?
I think romanticizing implies that you think it was
wasn't
more
that
than
good
it was
to begin with.
Yeah. And it was
I just
that
think
good.
That, no, I think it was good. I just don't think it was what it's just, you know, a thing that people latched on to, and a lot of people that, you know, were that chanted ECW at arenas or tables or whatever, they've only heard the name. They've never maybe seen a handful of matches. It's all legend. It's all, you know, what they heard other people talk about. It's not, you know, what they really know. It's just, you know, you hear someone cheer for somebody, you kind of start cheering for them too, you know.
Still get cheered for.
It don't matter.
Well,
whatever.
Somebody want to respond?
Well, I mean, what do you want me to respond to? You gave your point, I gave my point, Craig gave his point.
Yeah.
I think we're no conversational with the things that we think. I don't understand it. So.
Well, I have to agree on everything. Is that you want to have a show where we just kiss each other's ass?
Well, no, I don't want to. Never mind.
I'd like to have a show where I can express my opinions and I can argue my opinions.
That's fine. It's just sometimes your opinions come off just as you're being confrontational for the sake of being confrontational.
Well. Maybe I am.
Yeah.
Maybe you are. That's not good.
I disagree. I think having...
You disagree that it's wrong to be confrontational for the sake of being confrontational?
You do it all the time. Why is it only bad when I do it?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Go. Next person, go.
You know, Couture always cries and I'm cussing and yelling at him, but the truth is, I never cuss at you like a Couture. He's the one always yelling or cussing at me.
Okay, somebody go.
Well, go ahead.
No, you go. You want to talk so much.
Well, maybe I talked myself out.
Well, then you're not a very good host, are you?
Yeah, I'm an awesome host. I will go with the manager that was underutilized, and I'll go with the Sinister Minister. I thought he was pretty good. I thought he had a good
horrible.
He was different. He was horrible?
Yeah, he's horrible.
Yeah. Well, he was very smart. I'll say that about the man. He blew his finger off and shit.
Okay. He was fine. I didn't mind him. It's whatever. I like him with the bits. He's pretty good. That's about it.
I'm sorry. What? The mess?
Do what now?
What did you say? Did you say vest?
I said I liked him when he was with the bits.
Oh, abyss. Okay.
Yeah.
I misunderstood you.
I like
him when he was
looking into dirt. He scalped Raven that one time. For real.
Mm.
He shaved his head. And then Raven punched him in the face in the locker room.
Did he do that with Shears? Or did he do that with a fucking, what do you call it?
I think it was Shears. I think he was cutting into his scalp or something.
I think it's, I mean, that's, he must have been drunk or something. I don't see how you fucking fuck up like that. I mean, the Raven has plenty of hair. You don't have to go all the way to the bottom, you know?
Well, I remember this vividly because Brian kept yelling that those shears needed to be oiled. No, those shears needed a guard on them. There was no guard on the shears, and so the blade was actually cutting into his scalp, whereas a guard would have guarded his scalp. And, yeah, he was taking it right down to the flesh, and he would make a pass, and the hair would come out in his hands, and a stream of blood right down the middle of his head. And
something with those haircut things, you know, you hear all the stories from back in the day. All the clippers didn't work when they tried to shave so-and-so's head. And you tried to shave Jim Cornette's head, the clippers don't work, so the one got a straight razor. A horrible job of shaving Adrian Adonis' head at WrestleMania one year. That was horrible. And they didn't work. The shears never work, and now apparently they work too well. So,
you know what would have been hilarious? That would have happened to fucking the Vince and the hair matches. They would have been cutting, Donald Trump been cutting Vince's hair and blood start coming down.
Oh, God, yes. Talk about the one that you I bet you they tried, I bet you they had the standby shears or something like that. So we ain't fucking this one up, you know.
Yeah, I actually very much enjoyed the Sinister Minister. Completely underutilized, and him with
look,
Mikey.
He was just tremendous, the look. I mean,
yeah,
I think that's
yeah,
the way he looked in real life. I mean, looked all the time. So.
Yeah, yeah, he still does the karaoke gimmick. If you're friends with him on Facebook, he posts every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday where he's going to be. He's running a karaoke. Great voice, by the way, if you've
he's
never
an
heard.
Awesome thing. I remember he did, I remember I heard him, he did, like, they played a clip on Brian and Vinny. I think it was Panama by Van Halen. And, what was the Rolling Stones song?
Sympathy for the Devil?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And, this dude's awesome.
Yeah.
Why are you in wrestling? Go do something else.
Well, he really wasn't in wrestling for like a long, long time, and now he is into something else.
Well, I mean, he was in Smoky Mountain, is in WCW, TNA, ECW.
Yeah. Yeah. He was good. Should have been picked up by the WWE, but oh well.
He banged some rats while they and made him wear the Mortis mask while he did it.
Okay.
Just what I heard. I don't make
I
support them. I don't make them up.
I know. I didn't. Hey, it's your turn, Katrina. Go ahead and throw one up.
One I thought that was totally. I mean, if you're gonna use this guy this way, I don't even know where you signed him. Back in '91, when they brought Steamboat back to the WWF as the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, you know. They went through all this stuff. You know, they had him go and learn how to, you know, like, spit fire. He, like, went to, like, a circus and,
yes.
You know, had one of the fire breathers teach him how to do that. And,
right.
Had it basically
the fire breather when he was. The guy was showing him, a big gust of wind came and blew the fire break in the guy's face and burned his eyebrows off.
Jeez.
Speaking of eyebrows coming off, did you see those pictures of Tom Zink?
What pictures of Tom Zink?
Those smoke shots that were on the board.
No, are these recent or old or what?
Apparently they're recent. Somebody's been on by the road or something's going on. Cause, whew. I think that Iyada band or something fucked him up. I don't know what it was.
The last one or two times he was on Iyada, you could tell he was drunk off his ass.
Yeah, and there was a couple of a couple more shots got some DUIs or something like that, but Z-Man ain't looking good. So, if nobody's saying to go to the board and check those out, say, is this, go to the thread that says, is this Tom Zink?
That's that guy from Strikeforce.
I remember when he told the story about how Billman was banging this girl and he needed time with his legs to get traction.
That was pretty. His first two appearances on Wrestling Observer Live were fucking awesome. They're two of the greatest shows ever. But after that, he just kind of just wasn't that great after that.
He had the best line ever. He's bitching at a. He's talking something about he's in an argument with Ole Anderson. And Ole Anderson,
For $100,000, I'll suck dick all day. Line him up.
No, that's actually not what I'm talking about. I was talking about he's complaining about they broke him and Pillman up, and you're paying Sting all this money, and he's headline. He's the main event in all these arenas, and all the fans are dressed like chairs.
Mm. By the way, somebody get that drop of Ed, please.
Whatever.
But back to Steamboat, I thought that he spent like 6 months working with Haku, Smash of the Demolition, Skinner. I'm like, why didn't he even bring this guy back? Why didn't he even go through all this trouble and make this outfit for him? You're not going to do anything with him.
Wasn't his highest profile match like actually him in a six-man with him carrying Davey?
Yeah, it's SummerSlam that year. SummerSlam 91.
Yeah, that was like the biggest match
Power
in
the Power and Glory and the Warlord. His Power and Glory and the Warlord. And, so then he just, he quit because they not so much they wanted him to do a job for The Undertaker, but they wanted him to get, like, stretchered out and then come back later in a TV tape and he get stretchered out again. And I think he was fed up because they promised him like a push against Kurt Hennig, like in the summer or something, and that never happened. So he immediately left and went to the. He showed up at that one Clash of the Champions with Dustin Rhodes against Zbyszko and Arn Anderson, and beat him for the tag team titles. You remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of bad blood between him and the Monster. But anyway, I just don't. You have people on the roster like that, and you're just not going to do anything with them. See what the thing is. To have them, just to have them, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
Well, they still had to pay him back for him asking for time off when his kid was born back when he was, or whatever it was, the reason was, when he was the Intercontinental Champion. That just basically ruined it with him with WWE, basically. How do you not use Ricky Steamboat the correct way? I mean, right there has to be the perfect example of this show, this topic. I mean, I can't fathom you not using Ricky Steamboat in your main events and wrestling your better heels and having
these
awesome
matches. You know, right after the whole thing in 87 with WWF, then he goes to the NWA in 1989 as, like, the most talked-about matches of the decade, probably.
Yeah.
Flair. So.
Greg?
Yes, sorry. I had the FTS restroom.
Actually, before we get to whenever y'all want to, I'd like to do these clips that I put up. It'd be fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's a couple of them. They're a little bit long, so you want to... Anything else we need to talk about with this topic?
It's too bad you didn't bring it up 2 seconds later. Craig could have just took a piss and then have to worry about talking.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have waited a couple minutes. Oh, well.
Okay, I'll get to these. I've been watching a lot of Memphis on YouTube lately. I've fallen in love. I've decided this is like the best wrestling weekly wrestling show of all time. It's so awesome. I feel bad that some people haven't had the chance to see it. It's an awesome show, you know. So I'm gonna do these classic clips like they used to do, and Ed'll like this because it involves Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, or better known as Morton.
Who actually should have been the main topic of this conversation tonight?
Jimmy Valiant, or as I like to call him, Mork from Ork, because he's on a different planet from everybody else, I can tell you that. Anyway, this is a clip from 1978. It's Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee have just won, like, the Southern Tag Team titles from the Bounty Hunters, and they got a manager named Chuck Malone, and it said the Bounty Hunters want their rematch, and the only way they'll give them the rematch is if they can have the rematch, but Chuck Malone has put up his hair in the match. And so they make the agreement. They're out there. He and Dundee are doing a promo and building up this match. And then in saunters the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. And he starts talking to him about, let's make this a six-man and so I can get in on shaving this guy's head. And they're trying to explain to him, only way we can have this match is to put the titles on the line, and you can only do that in, like, a regular tag team match, not a six-man. Back then, I don't think they really they put titles on the line, like six-mans or anything like that. And they're trying to explain it, and it's not reaching the destination. You know, it's not getting to his head. So, anyway, just pick it up from there and just check this out.
He told the promotion, if they want that match bad enough, if they want us to put up those belts, then Chuck Malone will have to put up his hair. And do you know that idiot agreed to do it? So what's going to happen down there Monday night? You're talking about Chuck Malone packing his bags and leaving. What's going to happen Monday night in Memphis is this. He will probably leave because nobody is going to be able to stand the humiliation that he's going to suffer. He's going to get beat by a woman. And then he's going to have his head shaved. And after that, nobody will be able to show their face.
He said he's going to be down there, so I know that. Handsome Jimmy, is it?
You know, I got a hell of an idea, Daddy. I got a hell of an idea, baby. You know, Handsome Jimmy, the hottest thing, baby, in the world, baby. You know, this is Star Wars, mama. You know, everybody wants to pay to see Handsome Jimmy. And what I want right now, I want to talk to the Kingfish. You know, Kingfish, I want to talk to Superstar, my partner, Superstar. Can you imagine Handsome Jimmy, Superstar, and Kingfish in the same ring at the same time with baby Chuck Malone and the Bounty Hunters? What do you think about that, Star?
That's a great idea. I believe we'd like to do that. But listen, hey, will you just listen for a minute? Come back to us for 1 minute. It's a title match. That means you can't have a six-man title match, right? And the main thing we want is to scalp Chuck Malone, and we can't do that in a six-man tag, or he won't have it because the belt is on the line, and that's the only reason he'll put his hair on the line, right?
Yeah. Hey, brother, if that's the only thing you're worried about is Chuck Malone losing his hair, you know, Handsome Jimmy, I'll pull him bald-headed, Daddy. I'll take his hair one by the time, Daddy. I'll pull the man, but just shaving the hair. Kingfish, do it, Daddy. Do a little pull. You got a lot of pull here, baby. You got some pull, Daddy. So pull Handsome Jimmy in on the main event, Daddy.
Handsome, just like, you know.
Some things he doesn't understand.
He's putting me on the spot here.
Yeah.
See, here's what we're trying to say, Handsome. You're putting me in the middle and on the spot. Like Bill said, I'd love it. I'd be a great main event. But it's a title match. If we don't put up the titles, Chuck Malone's not going to put up his hair, so we're going to have a four-man tag.
We mean four-man tag, man. I said, I want a six-man tag. This is what's happening. The people deserve the six-man tag. They want to see a six-man tag. This is what's happening. You know what, Kingfish? I think I feel a little jealousy here. I think I feel... Hey, Sharkwind, go play with some tough people. I think I feel a little jealousy here, Kingfish. I think I feel I'm getting some bad vibes. You know, I'm getting some bad vibes from Kingfish, yeah, baby.
Maybe later they can get this thing together and talk about a six-man or something like that.
What we're trying to do, Handsome, is trying to tell you that we are the tag team champions. We're going to defend the belts. not in a six-man tag, but in a four-man tag. There's no jealousy. Your music was great, baby. I'll be the first one to admit it. It was fine. There's no jealousy, but we can't have a six-man match and get his hair staked. And I think the people want to see Chuck Malone bald-headed more than they want to see a six-man tag, so that's what we're going to give them.
You know, Kingfish, and I want to tell you something right now, very honestly. I think you hold something against Handsome Jimmy. I think, baby, every time since Handsome Jimmy hit Memphis, I think since I hit Memphis, Tennessee, Daddy, you know, Handsome Jimmy's the hottest property, Daddy, since Coca-Cola, baby. And I want to say something. I feel a little tension because, you know, the Kingfish is not as popular as he used to be because all the people dig Handsome Jimmy now. You understand? This is what's happening now, baby. Handsome Jimmy's what's happening now. You know, just a few months, Handsome Jimmy's been in Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, already, Handsome Jimmy's got his own candy store. Go by, they say, Handsome Jimmy, just to get some free candy, fans. Do it for Handsome Jimmy, baby. That's Overton Square, Daddy. This
I know
is what's
your
happening,
problem.
Baby.
You think we're trying to cut you out of the main event, right? What your problem is, Handsome, is we can't cut you out of something you weren't cut in on to begin with. You're not in the main event. We're the main event. What the problem is, you're on a preliminary match. Do you know what a preliminary match is? That's where the promoters put preliminary wrestlers. That's where you are. That's the whole problem.
Let me tell you the whole thing right now. I know exactly what it is, Daddy. You know you are jealous of Handsome's body, Daddy. You are jealous of my old lady, Daddy. You are jealous of my record, baby. You know FM 100 plays my record, and they request it daily, Daddy. They request it every minute, baby. You are jealous, Daddy. You are jealous, baby. That's what's happening, Kingfish. You are jealous. You're sick, man. You're very sick, baby.
Let me tell you something, Handsome Jimmy. I'm not jealous of you because let me tell you just exactly what you are. No, you guys don't have to come out here. We'll settle this right now. It ain't no way I'm going to be jealous of a big fag-looking jerk like you. You got blue blonde hair. You got those long, goofy handlebar mustache. You got a tattoo painted on a queer ear of yours. And you got one fingernail painted silver. Now, what's that for?
You're right, Daddy. I want to tell you what this is for, baby. This thumbnail is painted because Handsome hitchhiked at night. And this is nothing. This thumb is nothing, Daddy, because you ought to see my toes.
Yeah, you hitchhike at night. You know why you hitchhike at night? I don't think you hitchhike at night. Ever since you've been down in Mempho, as you like to call it, from the Big Apple, you bum rides off of me and Dundee. You didn't even bring a car down here. We have to haul your butt around, and you call back hitchhiking at night. You don't hitchhike nowhere.
I want to tell you something, baby, right now. This is what's happening, Daddy. Handsome Jimmy, what's happening, baby. I want to tell you something right now. You did this boy wrong. You did this man wrong right here, your own flesh and blood. Your old lady's got skinny legs, and your old lady's got skinnier legs, Daddy.
Let me tell you something, man. The only thing you've done since you've been in Memphis is screwed up this boy's mind. You know what I did for him? I did nothing for him because that's what he needed done for him. He needed to make it on his own. What'd you do? You come along, you got his hair bleached out blind. He looks like a fag just like you. You screwed his mind up. He don't know which way he's going because he's got his nose stuck so far up your rear end.
Hey,
you don't know
guy, come on, Alex.
Just keep my name out of it, okay? Yeah, just go ahead. He stick with him. He's your real pal here. Look at him. Look what he's done for you.
You're nothing, Daddy. You're garbage, baby. You're garbage, Daddy. If you want to prove this, Daddy, get in that ring right now, baby. We'll prove this right now.
No, you ain't nowhere, baby.
That clip highly offended me with the very crude un-PC language that they used.
My goodness. That was awesome.
You couldn't get away with that nowadays?
I know.
Never.
I was going to bring that up. It's like a case of things that you would see on wrestling back then. Actually, I rarely saw on wrestling somebody just come out and call somebody a fag. But this was Memphis. Mm-hmm. They did stuff like that back then. It was 1978, but could you imagine an uproar if there's something like that today? Holy shit.
Well, it was years ago, but didn't Didn't Sting come out with everybody when Brute was out there with the Xavier Alliance, and then they beaked it out, but he called him a fag, I think, or something.
I don't know what he called him. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think he called him a faggot. I really think he called him a faggot. But they did bleep it out, you know. But yeah, the one question I have is, who were they talking about that Jimmy was ruining his career?
Oh, well, that was Wayne Ferris, Honky Tonk Man, who was Lawler's cousin. So, you know, that's why he had said that he turned his back on his own flesh and blood because, you know, they're cousins. And he was saying, well, he needed to make it on his own and stuff like this, so that's why he treated him the way he did. And he was just following Handsome Jimmy around, you know, kissing his ass all the time. So that's who they were talking about.
Okay.
That, Jimmy Valiant. That was a pretty awesome promo, I thought.
Oh, now you're coming around on Jimmy Valiant. He was awesome.
Yeah, back when it was 1978, when he was, well, somewhat before his lobotomy.
His lobotomy.
Before he totally lost his mind.
I
like
when
he told Bill Dundee, go hang out with and hang out with the short people.
You know what was funny though is the one is like, you know, when this promo started, Lawler and Dundee were the ones being assholes.
Well, I don't know because they were trying to explain to the man why he couldn't have the match, just wasn't getting through.
They were doing it kind of snide. I thought they were kind of coming off as pretty arrogant right from the beginning.
Like when you said, your old lady has skinny legs and your old lady's old lady has skinny legs. Makes no sense, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to talk about, I know a couple weeks ago I talked about my new favorite manager of all time. I was going to bring this up. It's going to be in this next clip. It's from Memphis 2 and, Hojo Yamamoto is my new favorite manager of all time. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Chinese dude that really wasn't Chinese.
Or Japanese.
Or Japanese?
Sorry. They all look the same. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
He was like 4 feet tall or something. He was a little dude. He was almost a midget.
Yeah, I mean, they were promoing like a match or something on one of the things I was watching the other day, and it was Tojo Yamamoto against Plowboy Frazier. You know who Plowboy Frazier was?
Plowboy Frazier, you're talking about
Uncle Elmer.
Uncle Elmer. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, well, that's got to be a match I have to see somehow, because I just can't see the two of them being in the ring yet. Anyway. Because I've been watching, and this angle coming up that I'm going to play is, he was like tag team partners with Jerry Jarrett for years in Memphis. And then when Jeff Jarrett started his career, he became Jeff Jarrett's, he was teaming with Jeff like in the first few months of his career. And then he turned on Jeff and to manage a couple of Japanese guys, Akio Sato and Tarzan Goto. And then he came out on Memphis and TV 1 week with a can of yellow paint. And he said, if Jeff Jarrett shows up in the TV studio, we're gonna paint him yellow because he's a yellow dog. He looks like a dog. He's yellow. And so anyway, I didn't include what's happening in the match because you got to see it to really appreciate it and be too long anyway. So, but. Like, Tojo's sitting at ringside, and all of a sudden, Jeff Jarrett comes up from right behind him, picks up the can of paint, and dumps it right on his head. And so, then they tie up Jeff Jarrett, like, in the ropes, and they just start lashing him with a belt and a kendo stick. And I can get it started, but just listen to him and listen to Lance Russell, because it's like the best that Lance Russell's ever been. Hold on.
Everybody said we sneaky Jeff. Jarrett said that we call it Jeff. I tell you what, we not call it or sneaky Jeff. We are Imperial Supreme Japanese. We tell you now, I'm going to do now.
Oh,
see,
no.
Jeff Jarrett comes in the TV today. I'm going to beat him up, and I'm going to paint his back yellow streak, and I'm going to beat his back with his belt like a dog. And
you don't need that paint in there. Why don't you just get it out of here?
Jarrett, bring his retarded son. I tell you what, I'm going to beat him up with his boo whip and whack him in his back, and I'm going to paint this yellow behind his back.
Yeah,
and then he is a yellow because he looked like a dog anyway. He looked like the yellow dog.
Yeah, you just keep making comments about Jerry Jarrett.
But now, my two imperial wrestlers going in there, we're going to beat them like a dog, and we're going to paint this yellow streak behind their back. It's my show.
Why don't you guys just leave the paint? Tojo, take the paint out of here. Now, you don't need that paint in here. Boy, I'll tell you what, he's already cost Tracy Smothers his Mid-America title today. Brings in a bucket of paint and the belt. Get out of here!
Come on,
can we get some help and get this thing straightened out and get these guys out of here? I'm going
to
tell you, Tojo. I see what you did. You see how you did it, too.
Hey, Jared.
You're a disgrace to your people. Oh, God, just get out of here. I just got to tell you. See if they can help. Hey, come on, Tojo. I told you to get on out of here. Get on out. I'm going to tell you one thing. You can beat me up. I'll sue you. I'll get you in criminal court. They'll have you. Now, you get out of here, and I'm telling you what. Don't put your hands on me. You better. I'll tell you one thing. It's come down to a situation where it looks like that. I was going to tell Tokyo I'm going to have a ball bat sitting underneath that desk. You can put up a lot of things in there, and I don't have any question in my mind that Tojo Yamamoto could kill me. But I'll tell you one doggone thing. We're not going to take it lightly, and I just want you to know that, Tojo. Come out here right now, because I got a message from you. I just got off the phone with Jerry Jarrett explaining exactly what happened on it down there. Now don't come out here swinging at. All right, you may get in a licking. Yeah. No, I don't want to fight you, but I'll tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to push me around out of that. I may only get one lick, but I'll hit you right in the face with this.
It's not right to fight an old man, an old fool like you.
Yeah, all right. Well, just remember that, because I'll tell you, if I don't get one lick, it'll be a good one right in the face. I don't want to fight you, Tojo. I'll tell you what you are, though. I said it before, you're trash. You're absolutely a disgrace to your people. You do sneaky things. I talked to Jerry Jarrett. You're screaming, get me Jerry Jarrett. I told him what you did to Eddie Marlin, what you did to his son, Jeff Jarrett, out there. He said three words, sign the match. He's not afraid of you.
I'm going to beat that dirty dog. Banzai!
All right. Yeah, you beat him. This is one time. I don't pull for too many, Ral. I do pull for some, but I don't just openly root for somebody to get hurt. But I'll tell you one thing, Dave. This is a situation where I'm going to be sitting, waiting, watching for Jerry Jarrett. There's a time when you've got to do things, and Jerry Jarrett feels the same way. He's got one eye that's bad. He's got the other eye that's partially been histoplasmosis. But he is a man, and he's not going to put up with that kind of stuff happening out there. And he will meet Yamamoto in rather meeting in the parking lot if he was right out here. But the match, he said, and I applaud him for it, sign the match. There's a time you got to do things. The match is signed. We'll take time out. Be back in a moment. We got more of it.
Yeah, that's just pretty fucking awesome.
You know things are bad when Lance Russell is standing there with a microphone and a hammer, and he's ready to pluck somebody right in the forehead with it?
That's what just
if,
like.
If Jerry Jarrett brings his retarded son into the studio, I'm going to paint him and feed him like a dog.
Another thing you couldn't get away with.
Yeah.
Many things in that.
They say they're being like racist because he's coming out there doing the stereotypical sneaky Jap stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I love wrestling back when you could do shit like that. I miss it.
They had
like this wrestling preacher. His name was Brother Ernest Angel. And apparently he was sick. And so Brickhouse Brown, who he was managing, came out and told everybody he was sick. And then somebody just screams from the studio audience that he has AIDS. And Brickhouse says, get your mind out of the gutter. The man doesn't have AIDS. He's just not well right now. And then all of a sudden you hear a he has AIDS chant start.
Oh, gosh.
It was tremendous.
That's funny.
That was back when we could just make fun of it because it was a queer disease, you know. So,
Speaking of, I just quickly want to get back on our topic because we just got a few more minutes. Back in the day, I thought Adrian Adonis, when he got saddled with that homosexual gimmick, man, that was dumb.
Ooh.
That guy was just phenomenal in the ring. For a big man, he could move around the ring so quickly and just had some... I saw him and Piper at a house show just tear down the place. And the heat was unbelievable. And, man, they kind of dropped the ball on that guy.
Well, the heat was mostly because of that gimmick.
Yeah.
I thought the gimmick was awesome.
The thing is, the reason they gave him the gimmick was by that time he had gotten that fat on his own.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Well, everybody gets fat on their own.
Yeah, but now when you're a pro wrestler and, you know, everyone else is a bodybuilder, I mean, I couldn't see Vince doing anything but what he did with him, you know, or something.
Well,
that
he was
effect,
always.
Or, you know,
really,
like,
if he had not had that gimmick, I don't know if he would have been used at all. That much.
Yeah, that might be true.
In a big angle like that.
Yeah.
The whole thing was.
That was his biggest run. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know what I mean? Because he did a lot of other great stuff. But I just, not that long ago, someone on Facebook had posted a match, and it was Adonis and Murdoch against the Samoans. And this is a.
Mm-hmm.
This was like when the Samoans were actually babyfaces in this match. And they were actually pretty good babyfaces. But Murdoch and Adonis, god damn, that was a fucking awesome tag team. I mean, they were fucking so awesome and stuff.
Yep.
And but they were right there right before. They were lucky enough to get there before that the WWF had gone total clown show.
Yep.
But by the time, you know, it's over the year or two, you know, with the Hogan, Hulkamania thing, they were just, it just wasn't going to work for them because they were just, basically what they were was just bad, you know, just good wrestlers, you know what I mean? And, you know, they just, you know, they weren't going to get over as themselves unless they were given some kind of gimmick. And, you know, once he got that fat, I'm sure Vince, you know, thought that was the only thing he could do was something really crazy with him.
The gimmick was totally stupid and totally absurd, but I enjoyed it. He got over, so.
The best part was Bob Orton with that pink fucking cowboy hat.
Yeah, and the flower stuff. Love that.
Throw out the plugs, Eddie.
All right, everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the stream our show here at BlockTalkRadio.com/Contrere and older shows at blocktalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Proper Jam. That's my last name, PROPERJAM. And hit me up on Facebook, and I still have just a few of Brian's t-shirts left. I've got 2X, 3X, and I actually have 1/4XL. So if you're looking for a shirt, I've got just a few left, and get at me on Facebook or Twitter, and I'll get back to you real quick.
They're F4W shirts. Why do you say they're Brian's shirts?
Well, they're
the man. You did all the work, basically.
Yeah, me and one other fella. And he's going to get some money for
him,
but what are you going to do?
Speaking of the other fella, he also, I guess, made an awesome picture that I posted on Facebook today.
Yeah, that was tremendous.
Yeah,
that was tremendous.
The only thing that's wrong with it is it looks like Brian has a fucking Michael Jackson glove or something.
Well, maybe he does.
Have you seen the picture, Couture? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, go to my Facebook and check it out. Because it's awesome. But anyway,
not as good as on the board. Somebody, you know, the iconic picture of Wayne's World when they're in the car and they're singing the Bohemian Rhapsody. So if you go to Dave Meltzer's leather jacket thread, the very last picture is absolutely tremendous. It's myself and Brian with Brent Kremen in the middle, with Dave with his tongue sticking out from the Colt Cabana podcast as Wayne, and Vinny driving as Garth. It is pretty hysterical. It's the best thing I saw all day, for sure. So go find that. It's so good.
Everybody, go to youtube.com/Couture. A lot of this old Memphis stuff I've been talking about, I got a bunch of stuff up there. I've got pretty much the entire year of 1988. Up there in the playlist. I've got a one show from like 1978, a bunch of shows from 79, from 81 through 85, 86, 87. There's a whole bunch of stuff up there, so if you want to watch some good, you can go to youtube.com/Couture and check that out. So.
Cool.
And I'm very excited because I'm going to see the Man of Steel tomorrow.
That's cool.
Hold on. I have some Superman questions here. Hold on a second. What was the last Superman movie?
Superman Returns.
It was bad.
Superman Returns. Okay.
Yeah.
Why was it Superman Returns? Was he basically playing off the dude who died character, or why was it Superman Returns?
Because they left out Superman 3 and Superman 4. They said Superman, right after Superman 2, he left Earth so he could find the remnants of his of Krypton that were out in space somewhere, and he was gone for several years, and so that's what he was returning for.
Okay, so it's a continuation of the original movies. It wasn't like a total, like Spider-Man, where they started over.
No.
Okay. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I guess this wouldn't be spoilers, this movie came out years ago. Didn't Superman die at the end of Superman Returns?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought someone had told me that he died and he had a kid or something.
Well, he had a kid, but he's not dead. He was very badly wounded, but, you know, like all the times he gets wounded, he's not wounded for long.
Okay, so basically it ends where he's wounded, but he has a kid.
Yeah. Well, they say he's dead, but he's not. You know by the end of the movie, he's not dead. He's reported dead, but he's not.
Okay. Now, this new movie, The Man of Steel, is the Man of Steel Superman, or is it his son?
It's not a continuation.
It's not a continuation? Is what? It's a restart?
No, it's a reboot. It's a like a total reboot about how he first became a hero Superman, because he's like trying to find himself in the world, you know. He doesn't know why he's there. And it kind of just goes through the whole backstory, and then he finally figures out who he is and who he wants to be, and he's Superman, and that's when he has to fight off like General Zod.
So basically the first one is basically a continuation from 1 and 2 from the original. And now this one is a reboot, but it's about the films 1 and 2, like they merged them.
No, it's totally different.
No, but I'm basically saying the storyline is basically the storyline from the original and Superman 2, but they just kind of merged them in a new reboot.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with any of the other movies. It's, like, totally brand new. Like, they just redid the Spider-Man one.
They're not even using the same music, which I find
out. Okay, that basically answered my question, because I was wondering if I needed to go back and see Superman Returns.
And Perry White is
Which I'm guessing I don't have to see Superman Returns then.
Right.
Not only if you want to watch a really shitty movie.
Right.
Me, I tend not to be. That was a horrible movie. Yeah. Superman at least would be like a big dude, like a big dude from the country or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christopher Reeve was a big, he's like 6'4 or something like that. This new guy.
He's a big dude.
Yeah. And he just looked like a nerd. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this movie. I wasn't completely sold on it until I saw like the last trailer with it had a lot of General Zod in it. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's got Kevin Costner and Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe plays this, like Jor-El. And Kevin Costner plays Jonathan Kent and a bunch of good stuff. Really looking forward to it.
Well, we'll see. I've always been more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy, so.
I've heard they get some shout outs to the other people in the universe, in that DC universe.
Oh, aren't they doing an Avengers gimmick where they're going to like start doing the rest of the guys from the Justice League?
They may do that.
That's fine.
I don't know if they decided like definitely, because that's like you got to plan a bunch of movies ahead, like they've done with these other ones. You know, like Captain America and Thor and all that.
But that's why Avengers was so as big as it was, because they did all that little cross-promotion thing. They kind of made it interesting. But I guess it would look like they were copying them because it's, you know, DC and not Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, and the only spoiler I know for the Superman movie is there's no at the end of, you don't have to sit through the credits because there's nothing after the credits. So I don't have to sit through that.
I hate that stupid thing
I've ever seen.
Cool.
Anyway,
well, Craig,
looking really forward to it, and I will have a review here next week.
Okay. Craig, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Ed will ask me for a link to an illegal copy of it, probably. So.
No, I'll be able to find one on my own. I took out a link to the link you gave me to that site.
No, I'm good, man. I've done said everything I want to say.
What's up, down? A trailer for a sequel I'm really looking forward to. I saw the sequel to Machete. Did you see Machete, Ed?
Yeah, I saw Machete. That was like the Mexican version of I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
It was like one of those old exploitation films, you know, like from the 70s or the 80s or something. That movie was fucking awesome. I just saw the trailer for like the sequel called Machete Kills, and it's got like Charlie Sheen plays like the president of the United States. And Machete has to go on a mission for the president or something like that. He's got Jessica
Alba. I like
Alba
how fucking
Joe Rodriguez.
How he's like one of the most ugliest dudes in the whole world, but in the movie he's fucking Jessica Alba and Michelle Rodriguez and what's that fucking teenage chick that gets in all the trouble? Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan was awesome in that movie.
she was great. That whole movie was just, it's one of those movies that's just so absurd and stupid that it's just fucking awesome.
He repels down a building with the dude's intestines, using them for a rope.
Oh my gosh.
At the end, when the doctor and the nurses all have machine guns and start shooting to join the battle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
one of those over-the-top, like, exploitation films, like, from the 80s. Like, it has, like, kill scenes, like you see in, like, the original Dawn of the Dead or something. You know, some of those over-the-top kill scenes, all the blood and stuff is awesome. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Craig would give the movie a thumbs up just for the first girl that gets naked in that first scene.
Thanks.
But I could tell you'd like this girl. She's fucking fine.
Kirby.
Also, if you're looking for something to rent this weekend, you should check out I rented Oz of the Great and Powerful. It's an awesome
movie. I was thinking about getting that tonight.
Yeah, it's really good. You should.
Is it a cartoon or a movie?
No, it's a movie. It's like a prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, actually
so it's like how the witches became evil and stuff like that, and how the wizard or the fake wizard got to Oz and all that. And it's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Something you can wait to let your kids watch, but still enjoy.
Don't let your kids watch, or do that.
You can let your kids watch.
Okay, good.
So,
good.
Cool.
Right on.
Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and end the show then.
I guess we will.
Fine then. Good.
Fine. Oh, well, I was thinking Craig was doing a little better, but he seems like he's all crazy. So I guess we'll end the show before Craig threatens to quit the show and never call back in and threatens to kick my ass and some other stuff.
Well,
what was that contest you were talking about that Craig picked?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Craig's idea for a contest was let's videotape yourselves giving Brian Alvarez a birthday wish on his birthday month.
No,
come on,
that's
Craig.
Not what it's done at all.
Even in hindsight, come on, you got to admit that was pretty bad.
Well, what was it, Craig?
Well, if you would give me a second. First off, you have to know your audience. So if you want your thing picked, you have to appeal to who might actually be voting on it, which would be one Brian Alvarez. So my idea was whoever can come up with the most creative way to wish Brian a happy birthday, whether it be on video or on audio. Of course, they flipped out. This is a radio show. Wow. Okay, well, guess what? You yourself, Ed, have done taped yourself singing. So they have done that before. I imagined a Jackass-style stunt, maybe some small munition explosives, something like that. I thought it would be highly entertaining because people can come up with the stupidest thing. So, anyway.
Well, that's probably what I'm sure that's how you felt and thought it sound would come off, but to me it sounded like you're kind of brown nosing a little bit.
That's because it was delivered by an 85-year-old woman.
Yeah, like I said, that was Katrera. I highly recommend last night's Grammy segment.
It was actually pretty entertaining.
The thing about the fucking song was just. Basically, somebody told Granny that he made one of... You remember when he had that... Well, you probably didn't hear it, but they did, like, the Macho Man rap. Someone told Granny that he made a song. It wasn't too late for the contest. So Granny wants Brian to play this song that she hasn't emailed to Brian, that she hasn't Facebooked to Brian. She just assumes that Brian will be able to, out of thin air, not knowing the guy's name, not knowing the song, not knowing when it was sent, what it was about, that he'd be able to find it.
That's
like a half hour argument about it almost.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
It was that
real quick, everybody should I heard the SmackDown main event was like pretty awesome. So
yes.
The crowd was
well.
Off the charts at the end of the match. It was like a big deal.
The crowd's been off the charts for Danielson almost every match for the past like four weeks, it seems like.
Well, I think they said it was different because somebody finally beat the Shield, so it was a big thing to the crowd. So,
right,
yeah. It was a big pop. So everybody should check that out. It hurts really good.
SmackDown's been pretty outrageously good lately.
I haven't watched SmackDown since 2007.
I know, I haven't either. I haven't been watching it, and then all of a sudden it just got really good. It's crazy.
He's getting a big push this summer, I think.
Mm-hmm. because it should.
It's supposed to be like going up against Cena, like a Money in the Bank or something like that, or it was being main event mix or like at least.
Well, it was supposed to be in the main event with Cena at Money in the Bank, but now it looks like he's going to be in Money in the Bank. So now, hopefully, the match between him and Cena still happens, and it happens like at a SummerSlam, which would be a bigger pay per view than Money in the Bank. So.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Are we dismissed?
Anyway,
is the bell rung?
I guess so. So everybody come back next week and we will be arguing and fighting with each other then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Memphis shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.